Today's reading is in the book of Mark, chapter 7, beginning in verse 24. Mark, chapter 7, beginning in verse 24. And from there he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her. And he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "For this statement you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter." And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon and the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting touched his tongue, and looking up to heaven he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." So we have here in Mark chapter 7 two encounters, this Syrophoenician woman and this deaf and mute man, or deaf man with a speech impediment. And so this Syrophoenician woman, Jesus encounters when he goes into the region of Tyre and Sidon. Some manuscripts omit the Sidon part and just say Tyre. But he goes into this region, and it says that he enters a house and doesn't want anyone to know. Sometimes we get little bits of information like this about Jesus, and we wonder, why wouldn't he want anyone to know? But we're not given the answer. I can think of some possibilities. He may have had something particular he wanted to accomplish there that crowds would hinder him from. It may have to do with things we've talked about in the past in reading the Gospels, that there was a danger of his popularity growing too fast and the Jews wanting to crucify him or do something about it before Jesus was completed with his mission. There's lots of different things, and any of those that I would put forth would be my guess. That's all they are. So your guess is likely as good as my guess. However, when he enters this house and he doesn't want anyone to know, this woman still finds him. A woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit, and she falls down at his feet, but she's a Gentile. So what does she know about Jesus? Has she just heard stories about his miracles? Does she have some belief in God despite the fact that she is a Gentile? Paul talks about, there were Gentiles that were believers in God in the book of Romans in the beginning. And so, is it a matter of she knows Jehovah, or she just knows that these miracles are being done by this person? Personally, again, this is another area for me to guess at. Personally, I would go maybe with the first, simply because of the way that she responds to Jesus. And so, her being a Gentile, she's begging him to cast out this demon, and he says, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread, throw it to the dogs." Understand, this is the same thing as, going to the Jews first and then to the Greeks when they were delivering the gospel, when Jesus was giving them, that mission to establish his church and spread the word of that gospel throughout the world. That was their practice, to the Jews first and then to the Greeks. So this is just a similar statement. He's not trying to intimidate her, and he's not trying to put her down, but he's just making a simple statement. And her answer is, "Yes, but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And so we see in this woman faith that he can do it, and we see in this woman faith that he would do it, and we see in this woman the understanding that yes, it does go to the Jews first, but Can't we just have just a little? You know, can't we have just the crumbs? Can't we benefit just somewhat? So he says for this statement, go your way, the demon has left your daughter, and that's the way she finds her when she goes home. Then you have this man that is deaf and had a speech impediment, or is mute, depending on what version you're reading from. And so he takes this man aside privately after he is begged to lay his hand on him. Again, I think this goes back to verse 24. He did not want anyone to know. And so he takes him aside privately, puts his finger in his ear, fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. Don't know exactly what the spitting was. Looking to heaven, says, be opened, and they were opened. I understand it didn't have anything to do with putting his fingers in his ears or his spit. It was the words of Jesus that caused him to be healed. It is the words of Jesus that have the power. It has always been that way from the very beginning. God spoke into existence the creation, and we have revealed to us that Jesus is the agent of that creation, that it is through whom and by whom all things were created. And so we cannot separate Jesus from that action, and then we understand the power of his words. Then there is this statement in verse 37. He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. There's a couple of things I think that statement is saying. First, I think there is a thankfulness for the healing that has occurred. I think there's a recognition that God is doing something good through his son on this earth. And I think that there's a recognition that Jesus is a lot more than making a deaf man hear or casting out a demon, that he does all things well, that he has a lot more to him than just being entertainment along the way or anything in that regard. Is there any case in which Jesus is unable to accomplish a healing or some miracle? No, not in the least. He does all things well. I think there's also a little bit of amazement too, though, because there have been people that came forth before and claimed to be someone who they were not, and they were not able to do what they promised that they could do. So I think there may also be this recognition that Jesus is the genuine article. He's the real thing. We're not talking about an imposter anymore. We're not talking about somebody, you know, just play acting anymore. He does what he says he can do. And by that, there is an amazement that comes across them. Sometimes when we see that amazement in the scriptures, there's a question along with it of, who is this man? Who then is this? Well, I think that they are beginning to understand. Jesus has great compassion, and he has great ability, and he uses that ability according to that compassion. And that's one of the reasons why he heals so many people. I think today, something for us to think about as we begin another day that the Lord has given us, we need to think about the fact that Jesus does all things well. And that if he does all things well, what does that mean for me? Well, I think that means that we need to trust him in all things. I need to give him my faith, my trust, my allegiance, even when some of those things are very hard things, very difficult things. We need to be followers, disciples of Christ that believe unwaveringly and act upon that belief in obedience. Thank you for listening today, and please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.